time, but everybody is kind of worried about the sky falling, but I'm not so sure that that's really the case, because we're doing that kind of stuff now and nobody even considers it. It's just like another day. The day that we tested the interchange to make sure that it really was a 60,000 car a day interchange, when they closed the bridge for a couple of days. They closed the downtown bridge there, and we put everybody 60,000 cars a day through the interchange. Now, that was a little bit of a challenge. But there's no math that makes 60,000 cars a day go through any of this stuff.
Well,
before everybody starts wringing their hands and throwing it up in the air, know that we're doing this thing every single day now, and it just doesn't seem to be anything other than another day.
The other addition is that with the outer road, you can use that as stacking distance or moving parking lot and peel quite a few people off of, across 165 and 265. Quite a few people will go across 86 and go back into Kimberly City and that way across 86 and up 13. And the Arkansas traffic will typically come out of the south and head south. So,
but we're looking at a heavy, we recognize heavy distribution going north, outbound, and the south, and down. I mean, we know that. But again, going back to Rick's example, I mean, you're talking about if we were trying to put 60,000 vehicles through one interchange, we've got three of them, and our goal is to distribute them to that 65 corridor so that then we can handle, closer to the 70,000 vehicles per day.
Our goal is so once you get in your car and start moving in the traffic line, that we keep you moving. You may only be doing 2 or 3 miles an hour, but you're moving. And as we pull them out and then load them onto 65, then we can control the flow out.
Now, right now, too, how many of these 22 to 25,000 race days are there in a year?
There'll probably be about 4 max.
Okay, so there's 4 of those. The other 361 days a year, those intersections are sitting there serving all of our residents now. And I will tell you, because it's in my district, but I see it every day, that interchange at Branson Creek, or that road at grade road access at Branson Creek in the airport, is a dangerous place. It's an ugly place. We get these in an alternate way around, that's going to be a lot safer for our day-to-day stuff. Plus, coming out on 265 at 86 and just going through an interchange rather than having to sit at a stoplight.
Actually, if you're coming out 65 to go to the airport, it's going to be far quicker to go right past that and come up here and go in than it is to come through here.
And far safer.
Yep.
So again, and that right now this outer road is discontinuous. It just runs a little ways and it stops, and it runs a little ways and it stops. We'll connect that all the way through as a part of this project. We need that capacity to move them, to distribute them out to those interchanges.
And load at multiple points, that's part of the trick. I mean, some of 65 will load up here, but if you load at multiple points, you can flow more traffic in the same time period than you can trying to choke it into one.
Okay, so the real interest in us is why to work this out, why to put this burden on us is because the only way we're going to be successful is moving people in and out. I mean, we can have a great race and a great event, but if they're sitting in traffic for 3 or 4 hours and not moving, they're never coming back. So we know we got to get them in efficiently and have a good event for them, and then get them back home efficiently and safely. So we're going to be out of business.
4th of July race in Daytona, and with my wife and granddaughter and another family. And it's a night race, and we got in the car at 11:30 Eastern time, and at 3:30 in the morning, we were on I-4 heading back to Orlando. So I can tell you, we won't ever go back to that race. Now, I've been back after that to the 500, but I knew another way to get in and out, and I came that way.
You know, a lot of the problem on something like this, traffic slowdown is, they had it in Kansas City, is people who are in the wrong lane, they're going to want to exit, so they slow down, stop everybody behind them with their turn signal on to be able to get off. But they solved that in a lot of places where they put up these barriers where if you're in the wrong lane, you're in the wrong lane, and they do it way back. So you can't switch.
Right.
And that, that would have, that, if they'd have done that years ago, it would save a ton of money on all these new intersections, because most of the traffic rush time slowdown was, you know, was just people in the wrong lane.
Yep. Well, and that was one thing that we noticed that there at the Kansas races, cones and barriers and message boards.
Right.
Can't have enough of
it. Can't have enough, see.
Because you can respond quickly, and that's what they were doing. They're like,
right,
put more cones out or move the cones right, or put a barricade up and adjust their plan. I mean, and that was the thing. They were moving them from this interchange. They're saying, all right, close that interchange, move them to this interchange, let us catch back up, and then
right,
once they're caught up, open it back up, and then it'll start free-flowing again.
Yeah.
We about experienced that on the roundabout with the bridge down there where they're patching that that north approach. I mean, it almost gridlocked and just stopped the whole roundabout, and then everybody's looking at each other. So, but then they move traffic, they got them moving around, and everything starts flowing again.
One of the concerns that has been voiced at some of the things is the idea about the congestion as it moves back north, whether it's going to block 76, 248, whether it blocks all that. But as they can switch these reader boards, they can take Branson traffic across 248 and out across the bridge to a certain degree. Then when that gets full or when that's getting congested, they see that on cameras and they switch the reader boards or they switch the cones and they redirect traffic so that they can distribute traffic more evenly through all of these different routes. And that's what that traffic control center, Frank, you've got one in Springfield, right? How's that work?
Well, it's very new. It's basically they have cameras and ways to change signal plans. They can't, you know, look at it and press the button and make the signal go red or green, but they can monitor the plans and make adjustments to it. They're also able to see things like a crash. They can let 911 know pretty quickly if they see the crash happen at those intersections. You can go on the web and see the same cameras they look at. But it's going to let them see what's happening out there right now and then they can make adjustments. This is a little different because it's also got a little bit of incident response to that. They go out and change cones or whatever to fix whatever traffic problem they're having. And we'll have, you know, law enforcement out there also acting like a live signal. They can change it more on the fly than a regular traffic signal can.
It's a good deal, as long as they'll man it. If they have those budget cutbacks and then they don't supply the people.
And hey, I'll tell you, I mean, that was an issue that Kansas was dealing with. Although they manage it very efficiently with the staff level that they have, but that was a concern.
Sure.
And that's a concern, and not just as far as a raceway, whether it's KU basketball or a Kansas
right,
City Chiefs football
exactly,
game or any of those things.
Yeah, exactly. When the Big 12 tournament's up there, they had the same problem.
Yeah.
And again,
that's on the Missouri side, but they still, and the choke point for Kansas is I-7.
Mm-hmm.
It choked up on the inbound and choked up on the outbound because it.
But I mean, you were there. How long did it take you to get out of there?
30 minutes.
I mean, they
an hour after the race, and I was on 71 headed south in 30 minutes.
But the economic engine that the Kansas Raceway has created for Kansas and Wyandotte County last year created $41 million
yeah,
in state local sales tax. So they see the economic jewel that is, and they're keeping it waxed.
So they built all the stores and everything out there, Cabela's.
Yeah, there's some things out there.
They brought all that. See, they didn't have any of that. That was
Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Yeah, that was the
Denver
out there.
4,500, a building for 4,500 employees out
right,
there.
Nice.
Yeah. The new soccer facility is state of the art.
Right.
If you get a chance to go up and see that, it's worth just looking at the facility.
You guys have any other questions for us? Or?
Thank you. That was good information.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we'd like the opportunity to present in front of you periodically just to kind of let you know the status of the project.
Come on.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
We appreciate it.
I think after our P&Z vote, you could probably expect us back in the 30 days after that with some more specific information.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Really good.
Now, I've got a question to the board, and it's a little preliminary, but it gets back to what we talked about earlier, and that is the idea about how to prioritize some of this stuff. Again, in District 1, you see two projects that are on the tip that are not on priorities, and that's Business 65 and then T Highway, because I already knew that they were in the system and everything else, but should we be should I be trying to put these into our set of priorities and leave off some of the lower ones?
We said we'd make changes.
Okay, so I just I'll submit a new series of priorities here.
Sure.
Now, I think it's prudent to wait until we get through P and Z before we roll these interchanges in. But once we do that, then expect for me to submit.
Well, your list can go from 7 to maybe 20.
Well,
move some down.
Do you want three interchanges as individual priorities?
Yep.
Or are you okay? All right. You want the road to the airport as an individual priority, or you want outer roads? How do you want to do this?
Yep. Individual.
All right.
If I can interject one comment on that, I can tell you how we're looking at it. That the three interchanges are single projects. The outer roads connections are single projects, and the road to the airport is single projects. And Frank, I think you guys are looking at the same way we were.
Yeah, we've asked for a traffic study to kind of look at what needs to be done when, so we can, number one, make sure that we understand the traffic impacts of the project and see what's really necessary to be done. Get them up in there.
As far as putting these on your list, though, I mean, they're not really a priority until the racetrack's built. I'm assuming as far as when we sit down and try to analyze traffic, there's no traffic there.
No.
So, I mean, do they become a priority on your matrix until the track's there? And then the track will be there until they're already built, or how? You know, getting at, I mean, future projections, if that interchange isn't there, that's probably number one priority. That's for right now. It's not necessarily the point.
I think you've got to have infrastructure before you have anything else.
If we wait till the track's there and then prioritize the interchanges, it's a little too late.
We wait for that, and we just lost our opportunity here.
Well, I agree. The interchanges need to be there first.
Sure. After the P and Z vote, you'll expect for District 1 to submit a new set of priorities for District 1. So that's what I'm telling you.
Well, before we turn dirt, we have to have approval from P and Z in our agreement at MoDOT, or we go away.
Yeah.
But is that a county priority, or is that all going to be developed? I guess my question is that something.
These are projects that were previously identified by MoDOT as public priorities. Just funding from happening. And that's why I went through Missouri House 141-3 and Missouri Senate 33-0.
But I guess my point, too, is sometimes we have things that are on priority lists here that are not. The priority lists aren't necessarily saying that the county has to spend its funds that way. Because, like, the interchange in Hollister's got Hollister funds in it. Branson's project's got some Branson funds in it. We're not just asking the county just because it's a high priority. They just means that we'd like to pull together and agree that in this area, these are the high priority projects. Now, where we're going to get money, we may have to, like this bridge, I can see right now that I'm going to wind up involved with that some dang way or another, getting some federal dollars. And I think I might have a meeting tomorrow that we're going to start getting that on the dang scope. But if it isn't a priority to the county to look out for this bridge, then they're all going to look at us and say, well, the county doesn't think it's a priority, so why would we give you any money?
Right. Do we put in projections in as far as the traffic count on this?
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing a traffic study.
Yeah.
Okay.
Down to new or old business. I'm not aware of any new or old. Touched on it already. We got a spot for a public comment. We don't have any public comments, so any other business today?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.